Hey guys, I'm Eric McLane.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome into the Gramlich and McLane podcast. Guys, we're going to be completely transparent and honest with y'all right now. We recorded this podcast about, what would you say, Mac? 5 hours ago?
Five or six hours ago.
And now we're back. We're re-recording because the biggest news of the college football season just dropped. Trevor Lawrence has COVID-19 and he is out for the Boston College game. That's all we know at this point, Mac. We don't have anything else in Dabo Swinney's statement. He just said for the Boston College game, he didn't say anything about Notre Dame. So we're still waiting on that. This was his quote here. He said, Trevor has authorized us this evening to announce that he has tested positive for COVID-19 and is now in isolation. He is doing well with mild symptoms, but will not be available for this week's game against Boston College. While we certainly will miss Trevor, this is an opportunity for other guys to step up. And we're excited about competing against a very good BC team on Saturday. And of course, Dabo adds a little go Tigers. Mac, your initial reactions to this news?
Yeah, breaking news here on the podcast. Crazy to just see how quickly things can change in this COVID-19 era, in this 2020 season that we are playing in. And you know, hopefully, you know, prayers out for Trevor and anybody else who is affected. If there's any type of cluster contract tracing, it's so hard to figure out just how to track those different things. But this is a game changer, Kelly. This is huge deal.
Literally.
You're talking about the best player in college football not playing Saturday because of this. And again, hope that he's fine. Prayers with him and his family for a speedy recovery.
No doubt about it. And so we assume at this point, and we still haven't heard the specifics, but we assume DJ Uiagalelei, one of the top players, rated the top quarterback by some services in the 2020 class, will start for Clemson against Boston College. It's shocking. It's taken over Twitter tonight as we're recording here. And I think it says a lot about where we are right now, as you mentioned, Mac, in the sports world. Trevor Lawrence is the face of college football. I hate it for him on so many levels. Of course, first and foremost, health-wise, we hope that he's okay. We pray that he's okay. And most likely he will be. He's not asymptomatic. He has some symptoms at this point. So we'll see how those progress. Now, I think a lot of this depends on when he tested positive. And Clemson is not releasing any specifics on that right now. If he tested positive on Wednesday versus if he tested positive today, there's a big difference there. So there's a lot that we still need to find out about this, Mac.
Yeah, and you know, I'm no detective, but a quick Google search, it looks like Clemson tests Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. And so assuming that he spoke to the media on Tuesday, you know, I think we can assume that he did not test positive Sunday. The fact that it came out tonight leads me to believe that it was a positive test Wednesday at some point or time, or it came back, you know, early this morning, whenever it did. So it's looking like that Wednesday, if that's when the calendar starts, that 10 days, you know, that might open the door, leave the door open for that Notre Dame game. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this is handled. What are the specifics, the times, you know, if it could come down to Saturday at 3:30, Trevor's cleared to play. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see what does this mean and what does it look like moving forward?
And Mac, as a former player, I think that you can really shed some light on this. So let's say it was Wednesday. Let's say they tested Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon. So he could play theoretically in a 7:30 p.m. game 10 days after, but he would not have practiced at all for that entire time period. Even if someone is named Trevor Lawrence and is the best player in college football, can he theoretically go play and or start that game versus Notre Dame?
You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how that is handled. You ask from a player perspective, how would I feel after 10 days of not practicing football, right, to then go on and play, you know, right now the number three team in the country, number four team, excuse me. So what does that look like? You know, there has to be some type of rust. You know, I imagine that he's going to be in his apartment building, keeping that arm loose, just diving full into that film. He cerebrally, he's going to know every single thing that Notre Dame does. So it might work out that it's better. But again, the rust is going to be questionable. The having not been on a field, not doing these things, it's going to be very, very strange, Kelly, just to go those 10 days of doing nothing and what he looks like if he's given the chance to play in that Notre Dame game, seemingly becoming available that day, that morning.
And even just from a health perspective, you know, I'm assuming that Clemson will want to put him through some tests and make sure that he's ready to go, not just COVID-wise, not just, you know, respiratory, but being off 10 days, is it safe to just put a player out there? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So I think that the door has been left open for Trevor Lawrence to play against Notre Dame, but we still have a lot to figure out. We want to talk about how this affects Boston College, but I want to say one thing very quickly, Mac, and get your thoughts. If Notre Dame, let's say Clemson, Notre Dame play, and Trevor Lawrence doesn't play, and Clemson loses. Most likely, if Notre Dame wins out and Clemson wins out, they will play in the ACC championship game. So you would have that rematch, and you'd think, okay, the playoff committee would consider that. If Clemson could beat Notre Dame in a rematch, then maybe they would get in the playoff. Do you see that as kind of a logical way of looking at this, that a loss to Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence wouldn't necessarily disqualify Clemson from the playoff?
No, I don't think in any, you know, form or fashion. Again, I know they don't look at history, or they're not supposed to, but that's got to be in the back of your mind, what these guys have been able to accomplish. And then again, the fact when the eye test matters more this year than ever before, your eyes are going to see that he's not going to be out on that field potentially if that happens against Notre Dame. That's going to matter. You know, they take injury into accord when they're looking at these. It's human nature to think if this great player, depending on who it is, especially when it's a quarterback, literally one of the most important positions on the field, that should take into account with your consideration and where you're ranking these teams and how you, you know, penalize them or mark them down or judge them in a ranking. So I think there's no doubt, and it certainly wouldn't remove either one of the teams, you know, from the playoff. If you know, Clemson was to beat Notre Dame, I think if Notre Dame still wins out and has a chance to rematch with the Tigers in the ACC championship, I don't think those guys are out. So it's going to be very interesting to see what this does. It's going to send shockwaves through college football if it hasn't already. But again, it's going to be interesting to see with the Tigers just how they respond, who goes in. Again, you mentioned it earlier, assuming it's going to be DJ. Is he ready for this moment? It's at home. It's against a Boston College team that is 4-2 and playing really good football. So 12 o'clock, ABC, just got a lot more interesting Saturday.
A great segue, Mac, into our big three. And we're going to start with this game that I would imagine would have been a highly viewed game, even if Trevor Lawrence was playing, because you're involving the number one team in the country. But now at noon on ABC, I feel like so many eyeballs are going to be on that game and on the pregame show, The Huddle, 10 a.m. Check it out on ACC Network. But, you know, it all started, and I want to talk some BC here too, because I think Boston College is getting this news on Twitter and maybe through their team group text or whatever, and they're thinking, wow, this does change things. So let's start just from a Clemson perspective with DJ Uiagalelei. From what you've seen from him so far, Mac, how ready is he for this moment? I don't think anyone's ready to just be shoved out there. No one is. But what do you expect to see from him against Boston College?
Yeah, well, the good thing is he's played in games before, right? That's a very promising thing. You're not having a guy who has no experience getting forced into the fire. You know, he's played some games, and right now he's sitting at 64 completion percentage for the year. I know he's only thrown 19 passes, but that matters. It's live bullets. It's real action. He's been used a little bit more as a runner this year, especially on the goal line. We saw that he had two touchdowns, was really just a battering ram. We saw him get in early against Miami. I think it was the first quarter. He got in very early, got a little banged up on a run. Again, he has to understand he's a quarterback, not a fullback. You got to protect yourself. I know you like contact. He's a big, big guy, 6'5", 250 plus. So he's not afraid of contact, but you got to remember if that arm can't move forward, you can't really do your job at a high level. So I think you can expect this guy to come in and play at a high level. He has a rocket of an arm, probably a stronger arm than Trevor. I've seen videos of him throwing the ball, you know, 70, 75 yards. And it's kind of jaw dropping for such a young guy to have so much power already. It's going to be interesting to see, does Clemson want to have that quarterback run presence that they've had with him, or do you have to protect him now? Understanding the situation, understanding he's
really
the guy.
Point.
Yeah. And your backup to him now just underwent hand surgery, you know, so are you changing the way you call plays for DJ? You know, I think the best thing that you've seen from this staff, and it goes all the way back to 2014 when they first took over in the bowl game, they call plays differently depending on who's in. They want to fit your skill set. They don't just call their offense, and if you don't fit it, we're going to struggle. They call plays that fit you and what you're good at. So I guarantee they've had so much practice time with this young man, so much, you know, just asking him, you know, what do you like? What do you want to run? They see those things pop up in practice. They're going to tailor a game plan now. And again, it's never good to have this news, right? For anybody, whether it's injury, sickness, COVID, family emergency, mm-hmm. it's never good to be missing your best player, any of your players, but it's better that it happened on a Wednesday instead of a Friday night. It's better that you have time, or Thursday, excuse me. It's better that you have time to prepare. You have a day now instead of a meeting. You have a day of practice where tomorrow you can walk through with DJ, and you might even have had an idea of it yesterday. So you've had 2 days to walk through it with your guy, settle him down, get a game plan in. And it's just that staff is going to take care of business. So it's going to be really exciting to see what is the game plan. How are you going to use them? Where are you thinking? Where's your head at? Because it's a great opportunity for him to really step up and make a name for himself.
How much of your game plan? Let's assume they found out earlier today. Okay, that's going to be kind of my guess. Maybe before practice today. How much can you change your game plan in one practice and one walkthrough? Because this is also a noon game. This is an early game Saturday. How much can they change, Mac?
You know, I think 100%. Now you're not changing scheme.
Right,
you're not
right.
changing to an I formation. You're not, you know what I'm saying? So it's not that hard. And really the only people that it really affects is the offensive coordinator. He's the one that has had his sheet and he has kind of his list of things he's going to run. The guys know the offense. They don't know what the tendencies this week are going to be, what the calls that are going to work. Cause a lot of that stuff you actually find out live in a game. Now you have your first 10 kind of scripted, and I doubt that that's going to change. Where that's kind of your cheat code for the rest of the game, where you see, okay, when we ran this power play, that's how they reacted. When we ran this play action, this is what the defensive backs did. And so that's kind of your mental note. That's your checklist early on that now you say, okay, this is what we're going to run for the rest of the game. So, you know, really, Kelly, I think it'll have a lot to do with DJ. It'll have a lot to do with what Boston College does, how they want to try to defend this team, because even that can drastically change your game plan. I remember when we played them my senior year, 2015, we had Deshaun, we had Wayne Gallman, two guys that could really run the ball really effectively. Boston College decided that we weren't going to run that day. They loaded up the box, they shut down the run, and Deshaun Watson threw for over 500 yards. You know, if that's what they're going to do, if they're going to shut down the run, load up the box, let DJ throw it. And is he up to the task? That'll be what they determine. I'm almost slightly sitting on a guarantee for you guys and say that's what I would do if I was Boston College. I would force you to let this freshman beat me with his arm and really just challenge my guys. I'd go man-to-man across the board. Boston College's defensive backs have proven they can do that and say, hey, you're Travis Etienne, you're not running on us, buddy. Well, we're going to load this thing up. We're going to really limit what you can do, and we're going to say, hey, freshman, go beat us. That's exactly what I would do if I was Boston College.
We're getting into a little BC here, and I want to get into some more BC, but just quickly, because you brought up ETN, how much of this is going to affect the O-line? Because if they're going to try to run a good bit with ETN, which I think Clemson still will try to, but to your point, BC, I would totally agree. BC is going to have to stack that box and say, hey, DJ, beat us, right? But the O-line gets this news, the Clemson O-line at this point, how are they going to be feeling going into this game knowing if we're going to run it, we're going to have to get a significant push?
Yeah, well, you know, just to open the curtain a little bit for you
Please
guys
do.
Listening on things that we did, you know, when I was at Clemson, we rotated and we had guys running ones with twos. We had the one quarterback running with the twos. We had the two quarterback running with the starting offensive line. They put different guys in different situations just so you're ready. And you've seen that in the games. You know, anybody who's watched the ACC has watched the Tigers. You've seen that they've rotated certain offensive linemen, certain quarterbacks. Again, I alluded to it in the Miami game. DJ was in early. They do that because of these type of situations. Things can happen. And this year, the COVID year, where things are so much more just not guaranteed. It's so much more risky. There's so much things, so many more things that you cannot control. I guarantee they've been mixing up practice and getting guys used to each other, center exchange with the quarterback. Now Clemson's not under the gun, so it's a lot different there, or not under the center. They're in the gun. So that's not as big as a deal, but it's going to be interesting wide receiver wise, you know, being on the same page. But going back to my original point, I guarantee Clemson has mixed it up enough in practice to where every quarterback, every receiver, every offensive line combination feels better than normal with each other.
From a Boston College perspective, if you're sitting there on Twitter, I presume, tonight, and you're a Boston College player and you see this news, Mac, what on earth are you thinking?
What I'm telling the media, what I'm telling, you know, my family, maybe even our coaches is, you know, it doesn't matter, next man up. They're going to have a great guy. We're going to play. To my boys in the group chat, I'm saying we're about to punch these dudes in the mouth. We're not getting beat by some freshman. I am feeling confident. I'm already feeling probably pretty good because of Coach Halfley and the stuff that he's been able to really just insert into us immediately. But you see a young guy back there, and he's coming off a little bit of an injury. I'm feeling good if I'm Boston College on defense, and I am jacked up. Now, again, Kelly, at the end of the day, this kid's a five-star. He's proven that he can do it. He's really good talent-wise. But again, if I'm Boston College's defense, I have a step above where I was earlier confidence-wise.
Okay, so we're seeing the line plummet. And the last I've seen, it was down to 27 points. Oh, man, 27 points. That's right. What we're still kind of missing here is that this game, Clemson should still win it. How much does this change the game for you? Like, are you expecting a close game now, whereas you weren't earlier? Does it just depend on a lot of factors, maybe more of what we learn tomorrow? What are you expecting there, Mac?
You know, I really, from the get-go, and even if you guys were able to listen to our earlier recorded piece of this podcast where we talked about Clemson, BC, I didn't think that line was very fair. I thought that Boston College was much better than that line showed. I think offensively what they're able to put together, putting together a run game a week ago, bringing that into the Valley where you have a little bit more of a balance, or at least have demonstrated that you can be a little bit more balanced, where now, you know, defensive coordinators have to prepare for the run. Originally, you were just coming in here with a passing attack, and still your season numbers, you know, you're averaging less than 100 yards a game on the ground. If you didn't have that great performance before coming into this game, you know, I think you're not feeling too great. But right now, you know, 264 yards, 44 rushes, 3 touchdowns. I'm feeling great about our balance. So I already thought that line was a little disrespectful, Kelly. I still think that Clemson, again, one person doesn't make a team. Obviously, a quarterback is very, very important. But when you look at the line, and still it's 27 right now via ESPN, I still think that's a little bit too much. But not to say that Clemson cannot win comfortably Saturday.
All right, let's do it then, Mac. In our big three, we're going to talk about the rest of the games too, because they're still happening. But this is the biggest news in the sports world right now. So fill in the blank Friday on our first game. Boston College can win this game if...
Boston College can win this game if they rattle DJ. Now, that is a new twist. It's something that wasn't even an option before, because I didn't think you could rattle the quarterback. But you have a freshman back there. Try to confuse him. Try to show him things he hasn't seen. And I think you have a good chance. You know, that on top of being able to run the ball, I think are your two greatest things, offense and defense, to make this game really competitive, make it really uncomfortable, and maybe even have a shot to win it when it comes down to the wire.
All right, our next game on the big three, Virginia Tech at Louisville. Mac, this is the first time Virginia Tech and Louisville have played since Louisville joined the ACC.
How about that? I thought that's what E. Wood said on...
Get rid of the divisions.
Yeah, Packer and Durham today. It's going to be really interesting to see, because again, these guys just haven't played in so long. And honestly, Kelly, this is the hardest game to predict on the breakdown right here. Again, you have two teams that have looked really good and two teams that have looked really, really bad. So it's almost a coin flip of what you're going to get. It's Halloween. Halloween's coming up Saturday, tomorrow.
Spooky.
It's a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde, huh? These two teams, you don't know what you're going to really get, who's going to show up. So I'm very interested to see this game. Obviously, Virginia Tech coming off being absolutely stunned by Wake, and Louisville coming off of their best performance of the year. So what are we going to get? I have no clue.
Virginia Tech is a 3.5-point favorite on the road. This is a 4 p.m. game on ACC Network. I'm leaning Virginia Tech here, and I'll give you my main reason, Mac. It's because I don't trust Florida State. Now, you might ask, how does that figure in? I want to give Louisville a lot of credit for looking better, and we talked about them a ton on Wednesday's pod with Eric Wood. You can go back and listen to that if you want some real Louisville breakdown. But I think a lot of that, kind of like with BC and their running game against Georgia Tech, I think a lot of that is a result of Florida State not being able to stop them, being undisciplined on defense, not being ready for that game after beating North Carolina. So when you flip that over to Virginia Tech, I suspect Virginia Tech is going to go back to running the heck out of the ball, go back to Khalil Herbert, rely on that guy. Khalil Herbert, your number one rusher in the ACC, Javian Hawkins, number three. We love Hawkins. But I think Virginia Tech, if they get back to their bread and butter, they should be able to win this game.
Kelly, I didn't send you these notes, but it felt like you just read exactly what I have written down here for the huddle Saturday morning. I said, I expect Virginia Tech to get back to what they do best and be up for the challenge. Mm. And that's what I have written down here, because that's what you're going to have to do. That's run the rock, pound the rock, run in between those tackles, run outside, get your playmaker involved, because he has to. I mean, this Louisville defense, they cannot stop the run. I mean, you look at every game, I think people have had 250 plus on them rushing the ball. They cannot stop it. So if that's your bread and butter, which it was, this was the same situation a week ago too with Wake Forest. Now, I had no indication that Wake would be able to stop these guys, but they did. So that's what I'm really interested to see. Is Virginia Tech just in a rut? Have they hit their wall? You know, what does it look like? Because if this Louisville team comes out swinging and they unleash that big three again with Cunningham, Atwell, and Hawkins, and they play like we all know they can, go for 600 yards of offense, can you keep up running the ball? I don't know.
That's a good
question. You've shown that passing it to get a lead or passing it from behind, we saw three picks last week. It's tough. It's not an easy thing to do if you're not a passing team to now be forced into throwing the ball. So if Louisville's hitting on all cylinders, it's going to be a very, very interesting game.
Mac, that's a really good point, because if Virginia Tech does get down, how much can they fight back by just running the ball? Both these teams really bad against the run, to be honest. They're both giving up basically 5 yards per carry, which is way at the bottom of the Atlantic Coast Conference. So maybe it comes down to which team runs the ball the most effectively with their star guys, with Herbert versus Hawkins. We could kind of change this game to Herbert versus Hawkins.
Right. And honestly, Kelly, I think it might come down to who scores first, because whoever can get out in a lead, if one of these teams get to a 10-point lead, you know, look out, you know, because both defenses are subpar at best, and I don't think they're going to stop anybody. So unless it's like a freaky turnover or someone does get a stop early, it's going to be hard to play from behind if really you're either of these teams, just because we've seen how explosive and how quickly they both can score.
Well, at least Nick Anderson doesn't play for Louisville. That's good news for Virginia Tech.
Right. Kryptonite is not on the field for Hendon Hooker this week.
Exactly.
<That's> right.
All right, fill in the blank. Louisville is the underdog here, even though they're playing at home. Louisville can beat Virginia Tech if...
Louisville can beat Virginia Tech if they are who they are. Just be the offense that we know you can be. Don't turn the ball over, which is very uncharacteristic up until, you know, these past couple of games before Florida State. Just be who you are. Go be explosive. Go make big plays through the air. Great job in the running game, protecting your quarterback. Just be who you are, and you can take care of business.
I like it. Be who you are. Mac is telling you, Louisville. He's telling you. Be who you are. Our final game of the big three is North Carolina at Virginia. This line, this is 8 p.m. on ACC Network, by the way. This line is suspicious to me, Mac. Let's start here. I found North Carolina -7. I also saw 6.5. Maybe it's up to 7. Why is UNC such a small favorite at Virginia?
I have no idea. And yeah, it's moved to 7 now. So earlier when I first sent you this game, it was like 6 or 5. It was something super low, which still 7's low. I don't know what the heck Vegas thinks they know, because watching, again, I trust my eyes, Kelly. Right. I get analytics, but I trust my eyes. There is no chance that Virginia can hang with UNC. There just isn't. Unless weather's going to be a factor, which I don't think it is. You saw what happened against Miami. The rain really affected that game and helped Virginia's defense limit some plays and make some big plays against that Miami offense. UNC is going to take the top off every single play. The running attack is way more effective, efficient, and consistent than Miami's is, I do not know why this game is projected to be as close as it is.
I think part of this is the Brennan Armstrong factor, that he is supposed to be back for this game. And one thing that Vegas is probably looking at, I would assume, again, I have no inside sources in Vegas. I don't know if that shocks you or not, Eric McLean, but he did look really good against Clemson. Brennan Armstrong played a heck of a game, if not for a cut. He had two picks in that game and two costly interceptions. One of them was the Andrew Booth most ridiculous pick we've ever seen.
Right. Catch of the year.
Right. Catch of the year. The Odell pick. But right. Brennan Armstrong did look really good. So he's coming back from concussion protocol. It's not like it's an ankle or something, even though we know concussions can linger. How much of this has to do with Brennan Armstrong? And maybe this is the better question, Mac. How good is Brennan Armstrong?
Yeah, I guess that has to be the only thing. Getting a couple of receivers back from injury, getting your quarterback from injury. It's other than that, I still have no clue. And he's a little bit of a gunslinger, Brennan Armstrong is. He's kind of that, you know, Brett Favre, fire it in there. You're surrounded by three guys, but I'm still going to throw it as hard as I can and see what happens. So I just don't know if – I think he's good, but I don't know if you can really trust him. You know what I'm saying? And again, against Clemson, he had success, but it was late, right? He started off really bad. I mean, I think he was like 2 of 10. It was not a good start. And then he eventually got up a little bit above 50% for the total game and had some really big plays, three touchdowns. But like you said, the three picks, I don't know. I do not think that he is good enough to keep this game within 7 points. I truly don't. I think that UNC's offense is too explosive. But the biggest thing that we need to see from UNC is the consistency.
Yes.
You know, we have not seen two great performances in a row. We've seen one really good one. And then a loss. We saw a really good one last week. Now what are we going to see? Is it your week off? Is offense not showing up? Or, you know, can you put it together and put two games together? When this offense is firing and really hitting on all cylinders, I think they're the most balanced offense in the country. You've got the best duo in the country at running back for sure. You've got a quarterback who's constantly rising up all kinds of polls and draft stock and all different kinds of things. I know he's a sophomore. And then you add a trio of wide receivers. And really even a fourth with Brown's brother, Deami Brown's brother's really stepping up big time. So these guys are stacked. It's just all about consistency. And can you do it two or three times in a row? That's what I'm really excited to see from UNC.
I love that, Mac. The most balanced offense in the country. I can't disagree with you because I can't really put one out there. Now you'd think, well, what about Clemson? But to your point, they haven't ran the ball that well. ETN,
no.
He's been effective. Don't get me wrong, but some of his really explosive plays have come in the passing game.
Right. And it's just, it's a little bit weird to look at and to think about, but that's just where they are. And again, UNC has two of those guys.
Right.
They have two guys that are exceptional, both two guys averaging over 100 yards a game. So, I mean,
that's crazy.
It's a different animal that has a lot of different options, a lot of different weapons for Sam Howell to play with.
Okay. So this one might be tough for you because I don't think you see the Virginia upset at all. So fill in the blank Friday, though, Mac. We got to do it. Virginia can beat North Carolina if. And don't say like
they can beat
an
North
act
Carolina,
of God or
right.
something.
That would be a good one. That would be a better one than this. But if they can create turnovers,
okay.
that'll be the only way. If they can get great field position, if they can get North Carolina to not be in a rhythm, to not just be able to walk up and down the field and really score a bunch of points, if they can create some confusion, if they can create some turnovers, they'll have a great shot, which they have the ability. This is a good defense from Virginia that just until last week, and I think that was partially because of weather, has not played to their potential and has not played to, when I look at the stat sheet or I look at the depth chart and I see these monsters that they have, especially a linebacker, they just haven't quite played to that potential yet. Maybe this is their coming out party. Maybe this is finally the moment where they're feeling good enough, getting some guys back health-wise, where they're saying, hey, we're going to stand up tall and make a point here because, again, if you don't create confusion, if you don't create turnovers, this one, I think, can get away from you pretty quick.
Kind of like what Florida State did to North Carolina, honestly. Create
exactly.
turnovers, get them out
exactly.
of rhythm. Matt, could you give us a little speed round?
Little speed round.
That was excellent. Okay, three games here in our speed round. Let's roll through them. Wake Forest at Syracuse. Look, Syracuse is coming off a game. I wish y'all could see Max's face. Syracuse is coming off a game in which they were down 6 at Clemson in the third quarter. So they did some really good stuff. And then Wake is coming off a huge win over Virginia Tech. Wake is feeling great. They are feeling super confident. Could this be a letdown spot for Wake Forest in your mind, Mac?
You know, I'm going to speak positively about Syracuse right now because I've said this a lot to people and I haven't had too many opportunities to speak highly about these guys. But I think their defensive backfield has been a shining light, like a national shining light all year long.
Even without Cisco.
Right. Without your best player on your entire team, they've still been really, really good. And I just have to think that those guys are frustrated that they are playing at such a high level again, nationally, not conference. Nationally, these guys are ranked in a bunch of different categories, top fives, top number one in a bunch of different categories. They are really playing well. Interceptions, limiting big plays. Their two best cornerbacks have not even been scored on yet. So it's a very impressive thing when you see those guys in the defensive backfield, what they've been able to do to limit the two best quarterbacks in this league in Sam Howell and Trevor Lawrence, to pick off both of them. One was a pick six. I think they picked off Sam a couple of different times. It's been impressive to see what those guys can do. With all of that being said, I think Wake Forest is just playing too good on offense right now. That they have, again, another really balanced attack. Not as much production as we see from UNC, who's close, averaging close to, you know, 500-plus yards a game. They're right around the 400 mark, maybe even close to 600 for UNC. But, you know, wide receivers are stepping up big time. Their slot receiver is right among the highest grade of any slot receiver, which has been really good to see those guys step up. And especially with just, again, how depleted they were, it's been surprising to see. And then their running backs, I mean, Walker and Beal Smith, they are really, really special. And they complement each other very well. It's a little bit different than North Carolina. It's kind of like one takes one game and then the other. They don't really do it together. Like they do at UNC, but those guys, I mean, they just trade off who goes for 130 plus multiple touchdowns. And it's been good to see. The key, I think, for this game is going to be Wake Forest defense. You coming off your best performance of the year, you played lights out, shut down the run, forced turnovers, do it 2 weeks in a row.
Show that maturity that you can go up there
absolutely.
And win a game you're supposed to win and win it relatively handily. What about number four, Notre Dame at Georgia Tech? And before we get into this breakdown, in our speed round here, those Georgia Tech black jerseys.
Ooh-wee,
those
I love
are
them.
Fire.
They are so clean. They look so good. I think that was whoever's decision that was to bring those back. Big well time done. Kudos. If you're listening, Coach Collins, if you're listening to the podcast before the game, I was number 78 in college. If you want to just send me one of those, I'll gladly have it in my huddle studio.
Mac is so shameless. He will ask for gear from anyone.
Super shameless.
Mac, do you want to tell the people what you're wearing?
I'm wearing a North Carolina football shirt right now that I was sent because I do not care. I will wear it. I love gear. I love representing different people. Georgia Tech, those jerseys are fire.
Beyond the jerseys, Mac. Let's talk
That's
about
it when
game.
It comes to this game.
Here's right. my main question about Notre Dame. Was that explosiveness last week real? Like, are y'all for real with that? Because I've seen the offense has just not impressed me. It's put me to sleep, as you know, Mac. Is this for real, for real? Like, Notre Dame,
Are you guys for real?
Is this for real? And I think this will be somewhat telling if they can go out there and put up 40.
No doubt. And that's what I have written down here, too. Are the Irish for real?
Can you do? They keep for real, this for real? Level? You have for real?
I do. For real, for real. I have that written down. You know, are they for real? Can they keep that same level of dominance that we saw a week ago keep going? Can they be consistent? Can they dominate in all three phases of the game? Because that's what it's going to take to hang with Clemson, to beat Clemson. That's what it's going to take when you get to the playoff and then to the national championship. You can't be good at one. You've got to be great at all three. And that's what we saw a week ago from those guys. So that's what I'm most interested in. If the answer to that is yes, this should absolutely be a blowout. And then we've got some fireworks coming November 7th.
No doubt. We can't wait for that. I'll just add in very quickly. I think I've teased this. We have a special guest next week. It's someone who you would think could talk about Clemson Notre Dame. I'll just put it out that way, Mac. Is that good?
Y'all are not going to want to miss
no,
it.
No, you're so not. No,
can't wait to
not.
See you next Wednesday.
Okay, Mac, there's one more game. Charlotte at Duke. Do you have any thoughts? Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, man, you know what? I'm excited about this because, again, it's my hometown team, Charlotte 49ers. I'm here in Charlotte representing. But the biggest thing with Duke is just, can we possibly play a single game without turning the ball over. Oof. We lead the country in fumbles lost. We lead the country in picks. We obviously lead the country in total intercept or total turnovers by four.
The way you said obviously.
That is at least, yeah, that is at least a full game lead on people that you have played the same amount of games with. So it's not a good situation. Those guys have got to stop turning over the ball. And Duke, please do not lose this football game. Please don't. You will make a mockery out of me. I'll have to go cry on national TV. Do not do it.
Considering we saw Syracuse lose to Liberty a few weeks ago, we don't need this to happen.
See, but I kind of predicted that.
You did. And Liberty is a really good team. They're undefeated. they probably should be ranked low-key.
Yeah. And, you know, instead, let's have two lost Big 12 teams. Let's put those guys in there.
Exactly. We ranted about that a little bit in our Monday episode. Well, this is going to be a really good weekend of ACC football, Mac. I'm excited to watch Clemson, BC. I'm really excited for Virginia Tech, Louisville, that midday game. Of our big three, it shapes up well. Clemson, BC, noon. Virginia Tech, Louisville at 4. UNC, Virginia at 8. So it's going to be great. By the way, we've never done this, but I just want to add this in. Mac, tell the people exactly when and how they can watch you all day on Saturday, just in case they're not super familiar with that.
Yeah, come on. So on ACC Network, the huddle will be live at 10 o'clock. So we'll go 10 a.m. to noon and kind of be like your pregame show for the entire weekend, that entire day, excuse me. And we'll dive into every team. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a little bit of Halloween drama. I'm not going to tell you who I dressed up as today, but there's a little segment in there where we're acting as different quarterbacks around the ACC, which is going to be awesome. Really funny. And then throughout the day, you know, we'll be half times of every ACC Network game. We'll have, they're called fill shows in between games. And then late at night, the huddle after dark. You're not going to want to miss that. It's my favorite show. We take the ties off. We break it all down. It's a great way to end your ACC Saturday, and we have a lot of fun, so you don't want to miss it.
I love it. Speaking of that, I forgot to add this in there, and you made me think of it because you brought up your attire. I got to wear this fire orange blazer, Mac, and I feel like you were proud of me. I could tell there was some pride coming from you because you are quite the dresser. So if you want to check out that blazer and other things, go to thesweetboutique.com. They're a local boutique in the South Carolina area, but I mean, they can ship wherever you are. And you can use my promo code KellyTSB. That's KellyTSB for 15% off. So go check that out. The blazer, not only does it look good, it feels great. It's super lightweight. So I would highly recommend that. And they have some really cool tiger masks. So check those out too. You're a Clemson fan. If not, they've got other stuff for you as well.
That blazer was fire. I can attest to
that. It means a lot.
I know a little bit about, you know, haberdashery. I have a thing or two in my closet. But guys, it was a lot of fun. As always, this podcast was produced by our man, Richmond Weaver. He's done a great job with us, adding some fun new stuff that I hope you guys have picked up on and really enjoy. Thank you all for listening. As always, if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop a little 5-star rating, give us some feedback, reviews. We'd love to hear from you guys. And until next time, we'll see y'all.